Hello, this is James Grunvig with a very special Unrestricted Warfare. I have George H. Lewis in the house. We're going to do a total show, 100% on the coming April 8th eclipse. He's an astrologer. He's an artist. He's a lot of things. And I've been diving deep in this subject, and this goes beyond Christianity. So for all the Christians out here, we're not here to offend you, but the reality is a lot of these solar eclipses affect people from around the world who never knew anything about Christianity, paganism, things of that nature. Don't look at it as a devil, but there is a lot to this story. So wherever this truth leads us, that's where we're taking the show. So not be offended, any Christians out there. Just understand this is about knowledge. You don't have to accept all of it, but we're going to dive deep into it. I'm going to start off with a video right here on decentralized.media. Let's rock and roll into the eclipse. We'll start from the big old point of view.
April 8th is going to blow your mind. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus said that an evil and adulterous generation will seek for a sign, but they will receive none except for the sign of Jonah. And in Luke 17, Jesus said that as it was in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. So get this, the path that the solar eclipse is taking will literally cross over the city of Jonah, Texas, several cities and towns named Nineveh, and it will cross over Rapture, Indiana. And not only that, it will cross over where the Ark is in Williamston, Kentucky. But that's not all. All of this will be taking place under the constellation of Cetus, the whale. To keep up with...
All right, George, let's get into this right off the bat. I mean, I love that young lady. This is amazing. In 44 seconds, she throws out a lot of information, all biblical related, and everything she said is accurate. Jump in.
I mean, it is going to be one of the biggest eclipses in modern history. I mean, for hundreds of years. And the reason is, firstly, it's a 4.5 minute totality eclipse. That's really unusual. Most eclipses are 2.5, right?
Yeah.
And then I always want to say, as an astrologer, the word disaster comes from the Latin disastros, without stars. When we are not able to navigate, think of us, we all were seafaring people once upon a time.
Yep.
And when we can't see the stars, we are blind. And so the word disaster, without stars, is important. And so astronomy and astrology has always been part of our not only our mythology, but our way of life. And, you know, astrology's had a bit of a bad rap from some of the religiosities in our culture, very deliberately. But this eclipse is powerful because it does coincide also with the solar maximum and a new moon conjunct Chiron and Eris. I'll get into that later, because what it really does is it weakens the artificial matrix or the grid. And it's in a way, that's why the negative entities want us through cloud seasoning and all the spraying in the sky to stop that photon light coming in to activate us. We are in a period of ascension. And so for me, I'm not going into the fear with this matrix, with this solar eclipse. We'll discuss this on today's show. Yeah. I feel we are at a number 9 numerologically, meaning we are at a time of completion. We are really stepping in. And this is, for me, what the whole Q program is about. And I want your listeners to really understand this is about dissolving the three-dimensional perceptual matrix, which David Icke has spoken about for 3 decades, and actually stepping into sovereignty. Why sovereignty? What does Aries represent archetypally? Carl Jung taught us this in his archetypes. Caroline Mace has spoken about this in more modern times. Aries is the self-sovereign warrior, freedom fighter, someone who stands up for truth and brings God back to ourselves, immanence, not just eminence. So we connect to the divine, but we also find him or her, it, holy source, whatever we want to call it, source creator, in ourselves. And we activate it and we collapse the negative matrix, because no longer does Saturn, Satan have control over us.
I'm with you. In fact, I went into Gematria, which is the language of numbers, and I entered in 99. Why 99? Well, April 8th is the 99th day of the year because of the leap year. We have an extra day this year. Otherwise, it'd be 98, but 99. So when I entered it, the first result that came up was Noah. First, Noah. I was blown away. And if you look at it in reverse, like, you know, really in the ancient times, the first of the year was April 1st. Now, April Fool's Day became the Cabal Illuminati inversion model, right? They always mocked God and mocked religious days and things like that. So April 1st was the original New Year's Day. And if you look at April 8th, would be the 8th, and 8th is going to what this year is 20224. That's 8. Is that like what God's completion cycle? Talk to us about the number 8.
I mean, it's a tricky one with 8 because actually it's deeply connected to Saturn originally. Yep. And Satan is the second sun. I mean, you know, there is an argument that Saturn was once a sun. We had two suns in our solar system. I mean, I don't pretend to be an expert on this, but 8 in some ways is eternity because it's the loop. You see, it's continuality, but it also can be the continuation of keeping us in a perceptual feedback loop like a matrix. And so for me, 8 is actually about coming to terms with our reality, understanding the illusion. We have been in the age of Pisces. The age of Pisces, the Christian symbol was of the fish and obviously the cross. The Christed light has been not only suppressed, but it's been inverted, as you've just said, constantly for the last 2,000 years in a sort of Canaanite. Remember, Cain eats Abel, cannibal. And it's a sense of we've been inverted. So the Piscean light of collective consciousness, divine connection source has been inverted and it hasn't been achievable. And so as we come out of the age of Pisces into the age of Aquarius, we're going to come more into a sense of self-sovereignty. So humans have the ability to pull the veil back, like the Wizard of Oz, to see the illusion, to see the confusion, to see the 3D matrix that's been projected at us, like Dorothy. And that's partly what we're here to do. And it's why so many of us have come to this planet at this time, is to experience this ascension. But we're going to learn. This is where the rub is hard for Christians, Jews, Muslims, and people of the revealed religions, the fixed religions, is the Bible has truths in them, absolutely. But it has a lot of deceit and lies and misconceptions in them as well. And part of what I feel with this whole movement that we're in with the United States, and I think Russia's in this as well, is stepping into radical freedom where human beings can, for the first time since pre-Atlantis, I think, or I mean, since pre-recorded history, have a real sense of self-identity to choosing to live their own life without being part of the three-dimensional matrix of economic control, of usury, and all those things that have kept us bound as slaves.
Yeah, absolutely. Very well said. On a simple note, 107 looked at it, and I kind of agree that if you know the number 8 on the side is affinity, and on the left side of the affinity is the end of one cycle.
Yes.
Right? We're about to begin a new cycle. So we're right in that conjuncture of saying goodbye to the old world, hello to the new world. So it's a threshold kind of moment in year.
No, that's absolutely true. I mean, 107's absolutely right about that. And the way you can see that in the astrology is the Pluto cycle. So we've spoken on this on your show before about Pluto in Capricorn, which yep. Obviously Pluto moved through Capricorn in 1776. We had the Revolutionary Wars against the tyranny of Great Britain. Here we are again, now moving into Aquarius. But isn't it interesting? We have that dip for the final time back into Capricorn 2 months before the election. And so it's like this smashing of all the old institutions, all the alphabet agencies, all those institutions that once upon a time one did have some reverence for. And that's the illusion. And we've really come to see, unless we're totally blind and in the matrix still, and unfortunately a few people still are, but most people in their heart of hearts know that it's a sham. They've been conned. And of course, how does that then translate energetically into some form of action, not just, you know, swords and fighting on the streets, but actually the inner work to actually step into higher levels of consciousness. So 107's right on the 8. It is the end of one cycle, the end of the age of Pisces, and it's now the entry point of the age of Aquarius with Pluto's entry into Aquarius this year. It's a big deal. 2024, in a way, as an astrologer, has been the year that I've been waiting for well over a decade.
Wow, that's a big deal, right? We're getting into our slide deck now because there's a lot of stuff on. It's a lot more than just a 4-minute event. People say, well, 4 minutes is short. Yeah, it's short for conversation. But if you're trying to hold your breath underwater, George, 2 minutes is very long. 4 minutes will kill most people. So 4 minutes of a total darkness eclipse, that to me is a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, 100%. Yeah.
Here we go. April 8th, Eclipse, Days of Noah. Episode 61 with George Lewis. Let's roll. That's me. You know where to find me. So here we go. We're starting off the three eclipses, 2017, last year, and this year, form L, which is the Most High of God. Well, that's kind of interesting, isn't that?
Yeah. I mean, the Aleph, it's the Alpha and the Omega in a way.
Yeah.
I mean, we could go really deep into the mythology and the religion. I mean, I think one of the things Christians and Jews are going to really have to work on over the coming weeks, months, and of course years, is understanding that a lot of the mythology, because Christianity comes out of Judaism. Judaism, really, a lot of it comes out of Babylonia.
Yep, it does.
And that's uncomfortable for a lot of people. It's going to be brutally uncomfortable. And so for me, I look you in the eye and say, look, I'm on this journey like all of us. Is Pluto in Aquarius behooves us to get out of our ego and to be really curious, like a child, about our belief systems. And, you know, yes, we could look at the Aleph, the Alpha, the Omega. That's the beginning and the end. I mean, the United States is to me, a promised land. And I speak in this sense as a Brit who's moved here. Because the energetics of this country, understanding Madison and the Quincy brothers, understanding that sacred document, you know, those people left, like the ones who left Nineveh after Jonah, they left because they wanted to have the potentiality to live a free life. Now, that got usurped. And of course, James, you and your listeners know all about 1871, 1913, the Federal Reserve, you know, and Trump's desire to smash the global economic system. But here we are now at this crossroads. There is a sense of we are leaning into a whole new position here, the birth of the Second Republic, but this time perhaps a global republic, not a global New World Order, which is the inversion, but a republic which actually we the people have a stake in. We go back to the homestead. So for me, I'm looking at it very collectively. We can go through, dissect the, you know, the wonderful, you know, Ninevehs and Salems and peace and all that, which we'll get to. But really, this is a fault line of saying, right, there's the past. We're birthing something new. This is 1776 again, but on a much bigger scale, because Russia's doing it. India's doing it. Brazil's doing it. And we, the people, are going to take back control.
And I ultimately believe China's doing it behind the scenes. We just don't know, right? That's something we're, as a revelation, we'll go find out. So let me read this while, these are three passages from the Bible. So Luke 17:26, and it was in the days of Noah. So it will also be in the days of the Son of Man. Let's go to Matthew 12:39. An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. Jonah 3:4, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. So Nineveh, so the overthrowing of Nineveh, think about this crossing eight Ninevehs, right? The path of this eclipse, no matter what the chemtrails do, it doesn't matter, the eclipse is still gonna happen. It's far above the clouds. What's interesting, if you take 40 days from the 8th of April to May 18th, why is May 18th a big day? May 18th in 2018 was the Crimson Contagion exercise, going all the way back to 2018. That's 6 years ago. Why is that important? Well, if you had 666 days from that mid-May day in 2018, it takes you to March 11, 2020, when the World Health Organization declared a global pandemic. 666 days. Nothing is an accident at all. So we're at war against the dark side. The dark side tries to use the numbers against us. And boom, here we are. So let me read the last section here, the eve of the Pentecost, which is on May 18th. The total eclipse that will be taking place on April 8th of this year will pass through Jonah, Texas, through several towns and cities bearing the name of Nineveh, eight of them, all passing through Rapture. I didn't know that, Indiana. All this takes under the constellation Cetus. I'll let you wait in a minute. On that in a minute, which is the whale. Also included in the path of the eclipse is the ark. There was an ark built in the 70s or 80s by some rich Christian guy who built this giant replica ark that just sits there sort of like a museum piece. And it's in Williamston, Kentucky, which is Western Kentucky. 40 days after the eclipse will be the 18th, the eve of the Pentecost. So weigh in, George, anywhere you like.
I mean, it's interesting with Cetus, the astrological, the constellation, because that's really connected to the sacred mother, the angelic mother, because it's a whale, it's protection. And it's us returning in a way to that sacred femininity of the earth protecting us. And we breathe with the earth. I mean, I think there are a couple of things I'd also like to share on the eclipse, which a lot of people haven't really focused on. The April 8th eclipse ties in with the eagle condor prophecy. The eagle is the United States, condor of South America. When we look at the Americas, the North America is the yang masculine represented by the eagle. We all know that. It's on the note and all that, even if it's been inverted to a vulture sometimes, for obvious reasons. And then the South is the great condor. And I think there is this resurrection of the coming together of the Americas for its people and to reclaim the land. It's connected to all those Native American prophecies. So we want to, you know, give some respect to that. I also think it's important to understand the eclipse of 2024. Yes, it started in Jonah, Texas, passed through Nineveh and Little Egypt. The crossover was, you know, going through those nine Ninevehs. I mean, it's very, very, very prophetic. But also December 14th, 2020 is important. It's called the midway point between the two eclipses. I remember looking at that first eclipse. Trump had only just got elected. It was, for me, very much part of the timeline change. I was in New York City at the time, and I had my glasses, and it was a very powerful moment for me. And it's like remembering when Princess Diana died. There are certain times for me where it's very personal. And then we've got April the 8th. Now, what's the midpoint between that? It's December 14th, 2020. What happened then? Is the vaccine is made available on that day for the first time in Chesterfield.
Wow.
It's really important for people to understand this astrologically. And this is the news which I wanted to share with you and your listeners today. And it's the Pfizer facility is in Chesterfield, Missouri. And not only then, December 14th is when the Electoral College elects the faux president, the fake, the fraud, Mr. Biden, as we call him, even though I believe the original Biden was dealt with and we're already on a third or fourth iteration. We've discussed that already.
Yep.
It was also the time that Donald Trump refused to concede that he lost the election. And then, of course, the United States started using the Pfizer biotech vaccine. Now, what's interesting is astrology never lies. And you see this isometric project. It works. The structure of our reality is like a palindrome, meaning you have the first eclipse and you have the 23 eclipse you mentioned with creating the Aleph. But ultimately, the book ends are the beginning, 2017, and then 2024, what we're coming into. And the halfway point is December 14th, 2020. And I feel April the 8th is going to put a big shining light on what was that whole process of transhumanism? What was that whole process of depopulation? What was it about? And we still do not fully understand the real what's behind it, the AI, which Orion Draco or whomever, the infiltration. And I think the eclipse is connected to those jibbity jabs. And I think a much stuff is going to come out. The other thing is X. Isn't it interesting that the X of the shape of those two solar eclipses across our great country, the United States, basically look identical to the X of Space Force?
Yes, it does.
And the X also of what Twitter became. And for me, this is a massive positive psyop to show us that we're moving into, and this is where I have faith, and it's down to faith, is Starlink. I was talking about the Starlink logo is very similar.
Yep.
And I think this is mass disclosure, and many of us are going to get it over the coming weeks and months and years. Some won't. Q always said, unfortunately, there may be 10, 15% who just can't get there. We pray for them, but we have to love them at a distance. And the rest of us, we journey into this new world. And that does require a lot of us to put our old belief systems behind. Trust me, I'm English. I was as programmed as they come.
Yeah, well, you know, let's talk about us human beings growing up in the modern world. We're born into a system. So, you know, we as children didn't know, you know, we didn't create the system, right? The parents are born in the same system. Our grandparents are born in the same system. So it's been a journey. So to sit here and put blame on somebody except for the architects behind the system, that's it. I mean, how much can you blame? We went in these, most of us went to public schools, even private schools are no better. It's all about indoctrination. We have a medical world that's hidden the truth from us. So this is really going to be a multifaceted, learning experience, and you have to drop your ego, and you have to, like you said, be curious like a child, and we have to move on, correct?
Yeah. No, absolutely, we do. It's actually a very interesting time when we do soften the ego, because then we're able to approach it as a creative. And this is something I implore all of us to lean more into. Is when we're in our joy, is when we're in our creative process. I mean, let's take, you know, what you've been doing, how you've been serving the public in the last 2 years, having left New York, or 3 years. You know, when we get aligned with what I call the soul contract, when we can be in that creative process, the magic really starts to happen. I mean, the magic is just the science of tomorrow. Magic really is a reality that is yet to be fully experienced or explained in material terms. And magic is also part of the imagination.
Well,
And that's
if
what.
you look, so you and I get into art a little bit later in the show, but the modern art was done to invert the real art
Yes.
of the Impressionist, right? It
That's
was
right.
done, it was like bad, gangster rap, which is a CIA creation, was to destroy music, not to create music, right? So there's all this dissonance, and we got to pull away from this Illuminati, satanic, Luciferian world, and become the children of God all over again. So let's look here. Governor DeWine of Ohio signs executive order for April 8th eclipse. Why? Because the eclipse crosses many counties, and there's going to be millions and millions of people trying to literally flock in. So, like Waco, Texas, I talked to a friend of mine there, and all the hotels in Waco have been sold out 5 months in advance. 5 months. So there are other counties with basic crowd controls and things of nature that are literally having emergency there, not to have any kind of FEMA drills, but they're doing it as a precaution, right? To have, I guess, National Guard activated in case there's any riots, problems, and things of that nature, even weather, because the eclipse crosses Tornado Alley, by the way. And it is spring, and spring weather can get volatile, right? April showers, so we'll see what happens. But not that all of this is enough already. Now we're throwing in cicadas. So cicadas are super long hibernating insects that come out, at broods come out at 17 years and 13 years. So in 1990, I was dating a girl. We were out up in Westchester County, New York, in a park. We hear all the strange sound. Those were cicadas underground, literally under the grass, that were ready to come out. That was interesting. So we talked about, so that was 34 years ago. So 17. So here we are. But what's different this year is the 17 years plus the 13 years fall in line in the same year, along with the solar eclipse. And it's right in the path of everything. I mean, this feels biblical. All these trillions of insects is going to be totally banana nuts, I guess, in a way. I
Yeah,
wonder if they're going to react, George, to the eclipse at all. The
I mean,
cicada.
I think what's going to happen here, you see, there is this funnel of energy which makes it biblical, which makes it apocryphal. And I really want to stress to your listeners what the real Greek interpretation, the Greek meaning of apocrypha is. The apocalypse is transformation, is change. It's been repositioned as death and destruction. I mean, there is a certain amount of, when the snake sheds its skin, it sheds its skin, and then there's a release. It's that metaphor, really. The apocalypse is going from one system into the new system. I mean, here's the thing: whether it's the cicadas, whether it's Salem, whether it's Jonah, we are seeing that too many coincidences exhibits no coincidence at all,
All right, so
meaning.
let me add this. So this particular cicada is called a red-eyed pharaoh cicada. So there we got Egyptian pharaoh here. And this event of these two broods coming together is once in every 221 years. So this is a special event this spring.
I mean, it's interesting when we talk about royal, and pharaohs and stuff like that, because, for me, again, I mean, I know the subject of today's show is not the British royal family, but when you look at Prince William being born, made to be born on a solar eclipse, and Princess Kate made to be born on a lunar eclipse, people who think that's just coincidence are literally living in cloud cuckoo land. And I think what's important with the revelatory times in which we are living is really understanding that so much of this has been a controlled matrix of perception. And the more we can lean into that and understand that we have actually all been manipulated, then the system just collapses in a positive way because it has no power over us, because it's a louche at the end of the day. It drains on our energy, it takes our energy. And that's really part of the reality of this world. Frequency. It's why the manipulators change 432 to 440. It's why frequency weapons are so powerful, because they can remain hidden to people who don't understand that aspect of reality. So I think we are, in a way, moving to a much greater understanding. And of course, knowledge is light, ignorance is darkness, and we are moving more towards the light.
Yeah, no question about it. So of course the big government, which is going to collapse along with everything else here, because big government is part of is the foundation of the Matrix. Let me just put it that way. So, of course, they've been warning and predictive programming. Next month, solar eclipse could cause widespread cell phone disruptions for millions of Americans, right? Cyber attacks, grid shutdowns, all this nonsense. We've had plenty of solar eclipses before. Nothing's happened except people enjoying it. So I understand. So if the government, between emergency declarations in the different state counties and things, and you know these kind of warnings of cell phone disruption, they're trying to keep people away from experiencing the eclipse, George.
Yeah, I mean, I also think on the dark side, the negative side, they're prepping us for a shutting down of the internet in order to control the whole passage of time leading up to the election, and then in their regard, to steal the election once again in order to bring in their order. I believe, I think you believe, and I think many of our listeners and our communities believe, that there are countermeasures very well much in place to not only deal with it, but actually to destroy that negative entity and to bring the power back to we the people. And I think, you know, again, back to the eclipse, this is not actually a time of fear. I mean, I've done sun gazing for many years now. Now, I'm very conservative when I do it. I do it only in the first 20 minutes of dawn and the last 20 minutes of sunset. You know, I'm not a Tibetan master who can do it at midday and get actually a certain amount of energy without needing to eat food for days. That's a whole different level of expertise. I'm a beginner, but I think getting out there and witnessing it, getting some glasses, being part of it is great. And whatever happens, go there for the ride and expect the unexpected, like a kid does. I mean, I think one of the reasons why children heal so quickly and stay so vibrant is because when they're young, and obviously when they're not injected by crazy nonsense, they're so connected to the divine source. And I have actual experience of this being a father of two, with conversations I had with both of my children when they were very young about memory from past lives. That's not made up, that's a reality. But unless you have those conversations with the young, they forget it, because that's what the Matrix does. And we become automated. That's part of the technocracy that we live in. We live in a technocracy. We don't really live in a biological Lemurian sense of connected to the divine matrix. No, we've lived in an artificial construct, and we're going to return to the Matrix. You know, so understanding more about the moon, what it means, you know, it's basically a time of disclosure. And part of what we need to do, learning all these facts, is just journey with it and enjoy the experience. We are spiritual beings. We are absolutely divine creatures coming here for an experience in a 3D polarized world. Yes, it's hard, it's tough, but if we look at it as spiritual beings, it makes much more sense.
George, it's going to be epic. Let's talk about your tours coming up briefly. Yeah, epic tours. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm going one to your motherland. I'm doing a tour with a dear friend in Norway. It's our second one. We did a great retreat there last year, Bergen, the mountains. We do a lot of spiritual work, yoga, and I do, you know, astrology readings and a lot of sound activation through Tibetan bowls and crystals and all sorts of music modalities.
Yeah,
and I'm doing one in Portugal at the end of April. I'm taking actually a group of people to the Bosnian pyramids in June, which is really exciting.
And you're going to Croatia for a few days before that?
Yes. So Croatia for a few days with a dear friend who's Croatian-Bosnian, and we've got a really nice tour to show people, you know, this ancient part of the world at the heart of the Mediterranean, which was once part of the Venetian Empire, and, you know, it was once part of the Austrian Empire. I mean, it's very historic. And of course,
it was once part of the Hungarian Empire a thousand years ago.
Austria-Hungary, exactly, the Hungarian Empire. I mean, it's so interesting, though, because those Bosnian pyramids, that Sun pyramid is bigger than Giza, bigger than the one in Egypt. And of course, if you look on Fakepedia, it tells you it's just a mountain shaped as a pyramid. You can see so clearly from the aerial views that is a monstrous pyramid. And we're going to go climb it. We're going to go and spend time in the tunnels next door to it, underneath it. We're going to do some sacred meditation prayers and toning in there and activate ourselves and get closer to understanding these ancient technologies. And that's part of the disclosure. And then I'm doing another couple of retreats in Greece in the autumn.
You know, you co-wrote this book here called The Boy and the Boy King. Go ahead, briefly tell the audience what this is about. And can they find this on Amazon?
Yes, you can find it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's even at the Metropolitan Museum here in New York City. I wrote this, I kind of channeled it. It was about my boy when he was young. He used to have a bun bun, a little stuffed animal, and the bun bun represents the soul. And it's really about him and his soul traveling back to ancient Egypt and meeting with King Tut, who I've always felt in some ways represented a connection to the older, true more ancient religion of our connection to the divine source without having to go through the priestly class. And even in this book, I painted the illustrations. I did this before, way before the pandemic started. And there's one picture I painted where one of the priests was trying to force some toxin into young Tut to control him. And of course, this goes back a long way, the injections and the negative tinctures that we've all been faced with when it comes to power play on our planet. And so, for me, it's always about stepping into the sacred, sacredness of the child, the puer eternus, the eternal child, because when we can activate that in us, we're very powerful. And that's how we connect to our divine blueprint, is through that inner child. So it talks about that. It's very about imagination, creativity, those sort of things.
Yes, George H. Lewis, astrologer, author, artist, tour guide, sound frequency. Talk about sound frequency for the audience.
Yeah, I mean, it's really important. I mean, if people aren't used to it, let's look at it in terms of music. I mean, I was at one of these typical English boarding schools, which I didn't really like, but I was a chorister, I was a singer, and we had lovely old church bells in the chapel, and I'd gong, literally, the boys. I was 18 or 9 years old at the time, gong the boys under the church bells, and they would come back for more, more, more. And basically, when we look back, we were healing each other. We were healing each other through frequency. And this whole understanding of frequency music, obviously you've got the right frequencies. Tesla discovered a lot of this when his projects were shut down and hidden. The source of life is frequency. Light is frequency. Music is frequency. And when we apply the right frequencies, we really can heal ourselves and each other. And so using, certain Tibetan bowls or instruments, and I have many different instruments, it really can create an amazing experience for the person. And they can it can heal them, not only spiritually, but also emotionally, physically, and mentally.
Audience, for your knowledge, go to georgehlewis.com, IG, Instagram, and TS True Social. Also, you can find him there at George H. Lewis. Follow him in those two places. Oh, let's talk to about the, we're going to have a video on Madrid fault line, which gives a history of it, but an eclipse in 1811 passed over this and apparently caused 2,000 earthquakes. Maybe a cause or a coincidence, whatever, but it did happen historically. We'll get into this in a minute when I show the video. And then the last piece here is the solar flash. This is separate from the solar eclipse. The solar flash is supposedly 3 days of darkness with trillions of cicadas, no cell phones or GPS services, the devil comet, no school or work, expect the unexpected. As you said, George, let's get into the video on the solar flash because I think it's quite interesting. This is the second video of the show.
Three days of darkness will occur when the Earth passes through the photon belt. This is as the Earth enters and passes through this belt. There will be no sunlight, nor moonlight on the Earth's surface. Photons are electromagnetic particles that travel at the speed of light and will act as a barrier or temporary shield around the Earth, preventing the light of the sun or the stars from passing through it. This is expected to last 72 hours or 5 days. There are no breaks or periods of light. During the 3 days, only darkness. Recommendations: stock up on food, water, candles, other essential items. All sunlight will be blocked and solar panels will not generate energy. Stay at home and avoid traveling for safety reasons. The sunlight will return to the Earth, marking the beginning of the golden age.
George, I don't know when this is going to happen. I don't know if it coincides with the solar eclipse or not, but apparently it's coming soon, this potential solar flash. Any thoughts or ideas on this?
I mean, this I don't know, and I'm not into speculation, but certainly with the astrology, with the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, which coincides. You see, the interesting thing is April's a very, very intense month because on the good side, you have this amazing Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. Jupiter is the benefic, it's expansion, it's wisdom, conjoined with Uranus, which is in the myth, the grandfather of Jupiter. And they kind of take down Saturn, who is, the control matrix. But on the other side, you've got this Saturn Mars conjunction, which is malefic, which is negative. I mean, it's interesting. You know, when Q gave us that post, watch the water.
Yep.
I always found that interesting in April this year, because watch the water, Saturn and Mars, the two malefics, are in Pisces. To me, that tells us something about water in the month of April. And then in April 20th, you've got the conjunction of Jupiter and Uranus, which could be a solar flash. You see, Uranus is the unexpected. But I feel it's positive. You see, for me, I am not negative about this, because it doesn't sit with me when I use my pendulum or my inner pendulum. I think we've all come to experience this amazing planetary awakening, and it's unstoppable. And the great cities, city-states that we all know, you know, the three city-states of London, the Vatican and DC, have tried their best. They were set up in order to delay the timeline, and they have delayed it in many ways. When we got rid of all that homeopathy and wonderful medicine that so many of the women of the world had stored in their amazing annals, was taken out and systematically destroyed in the 20s, 30s and 40s and 50s throughout the 20th century. But now, not just the demise of the petrodollar, but the demise of petrochemicals and all those toxins that have been put into so many products is coming to the fore. And so for me, it's very positive. This is unstoppable. So the mainstream legacy corrupt media is going to constantly project the negative of death and destruction, because that's what they want. And a lot of that's in the Bible, and that's where I'm critical of the Bible, because this is the false matrix keeping us stuck in a religiosity that does not actually, it distorts, it does not reflect the true human identity. The true human is loving. The true human is empathic. The true human is deeply curious and creative. That has been systematically broken down exponentially in the last 5-10 years, and obviously through the jibbity jab since 2020, very deliberately. We're coming back. And, you know, whether it's Space Force, whether it's people behind the scenes, military intelligence, people like yourselves, the digital warriors, you know, America in particular as a concept is coming back, because the light just was dimmed, unfortunately, for too long. And now the light has got its resurgence, and it's going to come back in a great way. And of course, we still live in polarity. Absolutely. But the alchemical process is to be a dark lighter, to be a dark light, not just a light worker, but a dark worker. You know, we have to, it's the alchemy. We have to understand the polarity. The New Age doesn't want to look at child trafficking. It doesn't want to look at deep underground military bases. It doesn't want to look at anything negative, because it can't cope with it. You can't really sort the world problems out when you just ignore what's going on. You have to understand the whole polarity. And by understanding it, you can collapse it and find integration. And so really, that's what this whole process is about. And to me, the solar eclipse, actually the lunar eclipse first, which is a partial one starting on the 25th of March, gets us into the eclipse season. And it's in Aries, and it's conjunct Chiron, it's conjunct Eris. I mean, I could go into the whole mythology of Eris, the sister of Mars, and the whole Trojan War and how that started. We won't do that now. But it's a very, very potent time to really reclaim our sovereignty.
Well, we'll get into the Trojan War at another show. After the eclipse, probably during Nineveh, because there's a lot of activity. I'll bring George back for that. I'm definitely interested in the Trojan War. Let's go to the next video, because this video is 4 minutes, but it has a lot of information and a lot of what George talked about.
Stop and listen. I'm about to tell you some things about the eclipse that you have not heard yet. No, I'm not going to talk about how it forms the Aleph or the Tav, or how it goes through all the cities of Nineveh. More importantly, I'm going to talk about something in our past. Did you know that in 1811, we had a solar eclipse that was preceded 2 weeks earlier by a partial lunar eclipse? This is the second solar eclipse that we had in the early 1800s. The reason this is important is because following these, in the year 1811, we had earthquake, over 2,000 to be exact, followed by 6,000 to 10,000 in the Booth Hill of Missouri, where the New Madrid fault line is. You should pause and read this, because you'll see that we had some as strong as 8.8 in the series following the solar eclipse. Here's where it starts to get interesting. It states that the Mississippi River ran backwards for 3 hours, as well as many other earthquake phenomena. I bet you didn't hear about that in history class. Stay with me, because this is where it gets interesting. There was sand boils, seismic tar balls, earthquake lights, earthquake smog, thunder, and animal warnings. I suggest you pause and read those to see what was going on. What's really interesting is the earthquake smog. It says the skies turned dark during the earthquakes, so dark that the lighted lamps didn't help, and the air smelled bad, and that it was hard to breathe. I suggest you just pause and read some of the scriptures that I put here before continuing on, because I'm trying to make this as short as possible. Now, I'm sure you know that the Devil Comet will also be visible during the April 8th solar eclipse. What's interesting is there was also a comet that came through during the 1811 solar eclipse. The Tecumseh Comet is what they called it. Now, of course, they say that this comet only comes around once every 3,065 years, but I do have something interesting to add to this. The Devil Comet, or as they call it scientifically, the Pons Brooks, orbits the Sun every 71 years. Since we will see it this year in 2024 with the eclipse, we can do a little backwards math, and if you look, it actually goes back to the last time we saw it as the year 1811. Of course, they wouldn't lie to us about history though, right? Remember when I mentioned earlier that the solar eclipse of 1811 was preceded 2 weeks earlier by a lunar eclipse? Well, wouldn't you know it, exactly 2 weeks prior to the April 8th solar eclipse, we will have a lunar eclipse on March 25th. Those earthquakes were called the Great New Madrid Earthquakes, and of course we know that the path goes right over the New Madrid fault line for the eclipse of April 8th. Maybe they do have reasoning for stationing National Guard, canceling schools, putting out radiation units. I mean, who knows what's in that earthquake smog that's going to dark out the sky, not to mention how that also ties into more scripture. I know I find it odd that I never heard about any of those crazy things that happened during those earthquakes. You would think that would be a big part of history, knowing that some of these occurrences have happened. Of course, do with this information what you will. I do believe that this also ties in with the city's name Nineveh, the sign of the prophet Jonah, and of course, all of the things we see coming through the 40 days that we're going to have to repent. You should read the accounts of the New Madrid earthquakes back in the 1811 and 1812 timeline. It'll blow your mind how much destruction there was, although most of history doesn't tell us about it. Now,
what do you think, George?
Yeah, no, I mean, I find 1811, 1812 very interesting because it was in December 1811 that we had the lunar eclipse, and it moved January 1812 into the big eclipse. And that Devil Comet did go over the skies. Actually, it was over the skies for about 260 days. It was the longest time. You go back to the history, it's all well recorded. It's the longest visible comet ever. And it did precede the New Madrid, Missouri earthquakes. Absolutely. What's interesting, though, to add to this, is the Charter of the Bank of the United States ran out in 1811. It's very important for people to understand the real history. And that was the Rothschild Bank. Nathan Rothschild set that up. And he threatened American lawmakers back then that there'll be a terrible war if they didn't renew the charter. And what happens in 1812? You have the War of 1812, as you call it. That was the United States was invaded by the British. Yep. And you have British Canada and the United States at a second war of independence. And of course, the British burned down the White House then, and they sacked Washington, D.C. a few weeks after the New Madrid earthquakes. It's kind of like, oh, we're in a repeat pattern, aren't we? But the difference is this time is the light has much more power. Because there are enough people like yourselves and your listeners actually doing the work awake and awakening. It's a process to the fact that we've been grossly manipulated. Back then, the people didn't have the ability to connect with people outside the village. And maybe through a letter via horseback, you could get, you know, to the next door village and a few miles down the road. But basically, we were all disconnected. And now we're reconnected. And this is part of the Pluto in Aquarius timeline, which is really important, because the last Pluto in Aquarius was the Reign of Terror, the French Revolution, and all great ideas. But actually what happened is, you know, France in particular ended up living a much, much darker existence under the Jacobins in the Reign of Terror. And so it went to a low frequency Aquarian archetype, where this time we the people are claiming power back. It is the return to the homestead. And what I mean by that is the United States was founded on owning, having access to land, to grow, to worship freely, independently. We have had that denied in very clever, systematic, drip-drip fashion for 150 plus years since the Civil War, and actually even before that, since 1812. And now we're reclaiming it back. And that's what we're here to do.
So maybe the National Guard are deployed in case there are earthquakes. You never know. We've done a lot of fracking over the last 15 years, and that has disrupted a lot of places, especially in Texas. So and Oklahoma and other plain states like that. So you never know, right? It created earthquake swarms. So I don't know how much of that is going to disrupt if there are earthquakes to follow. This is going to be a very interesting period of time. But all three conjunctures, right? You have the partial lunar eclipse 2 weeks before, you got the main solar eclipse, and you got the Devil's Comet all at the same time. It's almost like a repeat.
Yes.
I find it interesting.
And I think it's really important for people to not lean into the potentiality of fear during this. Think about the creativity, the potential for creating that world afterwards, because the more we operate at that frequency, this is where it gets a bit more spiritual. And it's important for people to reclaim that it's frequency. When you have the frequency of love, of creativity, of imagination running through your whole body, remember, what's the largest organ in our body? It is the aura. When we have that, then we are activating something and the old system just collapses because energetically it can't compete. You see, low frequency control is three dimension going into fourth dimension, maybe lower fifth, but probably
shame,
not.
Right. And emotions like shame, guilt, things of that nature, correct?
Yeah, exactly. And so once we understand that we see it, we witness it, we don't deny it, but we choose, this is where consciousness, as Jung says, you know, when you make the unconscious conscious, it is no longer called fate. You really can activate your own biography. So your biography becomes your biology rather than the other way around. It's really important that instead of our biology becomes our biography, by the way we think and construct our mentality and our feelings and our emotions flow through us. But these are emotions. They're not us. They're a part of an experience on planet Earth. And we're this spiritual being having this experience. And the more we tap into the music, the musicology, the frequency, the love, you know, that's not woo-woo. It's actually very scientific. And then we appreciate it through the eclipse, through these amazing events. We're alive. The synapses are activated. The homeopathic, the homeostasis is activated. And our neurological pathways get activated. And suddenly we become quite different. And our healing begins. And our biological age really goes downwards, even if our chronological age goes upwards.
We got one last video, about 30 or 40 seconds from Russia, to your point about Russians actually part of the solution to
100%
fall of the cabal. And this is actually it's 2 minutes. I don't have to play all of it, but this is important. This is the Tower of Babel. They created Tower of Babel and they're burning it down. Why do they do this? Why? This is symbolic to show that the end of the old age is here. End of Babylon is finished. Look at the Russian people out there in the woods celebrating the destruction of the old world, of the old matrix. Very powerful. People think Russian people aren't spiritual. Mistake.
I mean, I find that beyond moving. One of my dearest friends and mentors is Russian. She's a committed American patriot. You know, we've learned that 22 million Christians were abused, tortured, and died under the Bolsheviks when they took over Russia in 1917. And that was a Khazarian infiltration of Jewry. It is what it is.
Yep.
And people will learn that in time. And there will be a lot of healing needed on all sides. And Russia, it's so interesting. We're learning more about Tartaria. We're learning more about what not all the czars, but a lot of the czars back then may have been about. There's a lot of mystery. I mean, the Russian Gnostic tradition is very mysterious. It's very mystical. It allows for that state of peace and quiet to find the connection to source, to God. It is very contemplative. And that's something we in the West can learn. Like they can learn to become more active and more direct. We have to learn to be a little bit more receptive and to sit in the silence and to ponder. I mean, they've gone through monstrous times in the last 150 years where the Americans in that sense haven't, but Americans have gone through it very badly in a different way. It's the infiltration. You see, the people of America are absolutely splendid. It's why I feel so at home here. But the Americans were victims of a war carried out against them by their very own organizational structures, and they've been brainwashed, and they've been subjected to the pollutions of the air, the water, the food supply, of the programming of the school system and the whole nine yards. And so it is Russia and the United States, together with, of course, all the countries fighting for the light, claiming back. It is very similar to Star Wars in that sense. It is very similar to the Rebel Alliance, who then eventually will become the new status quo. And the most important thing is, when we do become the new status quo, is how we still keep that reverence and Christed light in us, where the ego is only used to serve the collective. And it's called the law of consistency, where we teach our young absolutely everything we know, so they are able to take it on to an even better extent with the next generation, as opposed to what's happened to us in all our countries in the West. Every generation has actually depleted and got worse and worse and more stupid. And we have to move in the other direction now.
I agree. George, we've got 2 minutes left. I want you to close out the show on a positive note, like you've been doing. You've balanced this very well today. Spring is a time of rebirth, but I think this is not just a personal rebirth or a personal journey. I think it's a collective rebirth for the world. Go ahead.
Well, the microcosm is the macrocosm. As the old saying goes, as above, so below, so within, so without. When we tap into our empathy, our imagination, our creativity and love, those are frequencies. This is our future. It's about radical localization. It's about the end of a global control foreign system imposing their force from without. It's about claiming it back from within. It's a very Aries archetype of claiming sovereignty for yourself, for your family, for your loved ones. And it's about decentralization, and it's a return to the homestead. And welcome to the Second Republic, which is going to be a global phenomenon. God bless.
God bless is right. Decentralization, he said, decentralized media. We know the path forward. Thank you very much, everybody. Great to see you. Love you all. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. Thank you, George Lewis. You're amazing.
Wonderful to be with you as always, James, and your listeners. God bless.